Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Chapter 1, verses 26 through 29. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be.
Do not be afraid, Mary. Found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. You are to give him a name, Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him throne of his father David, and he will reign, and he will reign, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.
My soul glorifies your name, O God, glorifies your name. My spirit rejoices in you, my Lord, rejoices in you. My offering to you is my service, Lord, let it be, let it be, let it be.
Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11 and 14. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men.
The heavens are telling the glory of God.
Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 18. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." Chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Sigh, an angel's sigh.
John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 and 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us.
The government shall be upon his shoulder.
The government
Appreciate so much the work of the choir, Pastor Gingery, helping us as we celebrate the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ, this Christmas. Several weeks ago, as I was looking through what we were going to be today, the title of the work that they were presenting kind of caught my attention, The Great and Mighty Wonder. And really, every section, every song, every scripture reading was designed to point us to different aspects of the wonder at the arrival of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I do get concerned sometimes for myself, for us today, that we lose our ability to wonder, to be awed by different things. We live in such a technologically oriented world. It's like, hey, look at this picture, watch this clip, move on to the next thing. And it's like, oh, that was cool. What else can I find to amuse me? And we don't stop to just ponder the amazement of something that we've seen, something that we've heard, something that we've taken in. When it comes to the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ, really, it should catch us with wonder to realize that God loved you in that way. To realize that the God of all creation became part of his creation. To demonstrate mercy and love to you and to me and really to the entire world. Again, the music this morning has focused us on the great and mighty wonder of the arrival of Jesus Christ, if you will. But I'd like to just spend a few minutes before we dismiss this morning looking at the great and mighty wonder of the purpose as to why Jesus came. I'm going to go to the book of Romans. You're welcome to turn there if you'd like. You don't need to. I'll read the scriptures for us along the way. Certainly, it's always worth seeing what the Bible says for yourself. But when I saw the title, my mind immediately went to a particular text of scripture that I love. It's found really maybe two-thirds of the way through the book of Romans in Romans chapter 11. And I'm not going to give you a full message this morning like I typically might on a normal Sunday, but if you look at the book of Romans as a whole, Romans 1 through 11 is the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul saying, here is the plan of God in salvation. Here's what he's done for undeserving people through Christ in chapters 1 through 11. It's a lot of teaching or instruction. And then when you get to chapter 12, it all changes and kind of moves from teaching and instruction to application. To say, based on all that I've just taught you, here's what you should do with your life. Here's how you should live. But right before you get to chapter 12, it's like Paul kind of explodes with wonder and praise for what God has done. Romans 11, verse 33 says this, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his ways. And his judgments past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? He asks a number of questions there. He's like, who can begin to comprehend this incredible plan that God put together? Who gave God counsel? Has anybody given God a gift, and God now kind of owes them and needs to pay them back? And the point that Paul is making is no one can comprehend the wonderful plan of God. God has sought no counsel. He's needed no input. He's needed no gifts. He's needed no support. He is that good on his own. And he sums it up this way in verse 36, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. He says, God made everything, it's of him. God keeps everything, it's sustained by him, it's through him. And really, God is the purpose of everything. It is about him, it is to him. So give him praise forever and ever, amen. And then in chapter 12, verse 1, now here's how you should go live. That section, though, Romans 11, 33 to 36, is summing up the wonder of God's plan of salvation. And just very quickly, I want to give you three wonders, if you will, from the book of Romans that you can rejoice in if you know Jesus Christ as Savior. On the other hand, if you're here this morning and you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, today the option for you would be to receive these wonderful gifts that God has given in salvation. There's many more than just three in the book of Romans, just so we're clear. Really, really many. The first one that I want to remind you about and ask you to rejoice in, if not receive this morning, is to consider the wonder of declared righteousness. To consider the wonder of declared righteousness. If you're here as a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, we might say it this way. You are right with God. Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 2 and even the first half of Romans chapter 3 spends its time telling us none of us are right with God. Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Like, we're being told we're not right with God. Like, here's God's standard and we all fall short. We don't measure up. And so we have this problem. We've sinned against God. We deserve judgment from God. We don't measure up. But it changes halfway through Romans 3 and begins to say, that's why Jesus came. There is this wonder, this great and mighty wonder of the purpose for why Jesus came, because he came so that you and I could be right with God. But I said, consider the wonder of declared righteousness. If you were in Romans 3, you could look with me at verse 25. It says it this way, God set him forth. God set forth Jesus to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. It says God sent for Jesus to satisfy the demands of justice against sin. God sent Jesus to take the punishment for my sins and for yours through faith in his blood. He did not say God set him forth to be a propitiation through works so that you could be right with him. You see, God did not say you need to deserve righteousness. God said, if you believe on Jesus Christ, I'll declare you to be righteous. The book of Romans uses the word justify or justified or justification a number of times. And really, the word justification simply means to declare right. Okay? There's a lot of students in here from college, from high school, from elementary that have finished their school year, or at least they're on break at this point, to realize, you know what, work is behind me. You know, we take different tests, and if you're like me, they weren't all 100s. They weren't all A's, right? Imagine a teacher comes along and goes, you know what? I know you got a 73. Don't worry, I said I'm going to give you 100. Yes. Never happened to me. Okay? Now, that simple illustration help you understand a far more important truth of what God says in his word. None of us measure up to God's standard. But if you believe on Jesus Christ, he says, I'll declare you to be right. I'll declare you to be perfect. I'll look at you as though you never sinned. I'll let you have eternity with me. That is a wonderful truth worth celebrating at Christmas, to consider the wonder of declared righteousness that you and I can be right with God. Verse 28 says it this way in Romans 3, therefore we conclude that a man is justified. What's that word mean again? Declared right. It says, therefore we conclude that a man is declared right, justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Right? There's this whole mentality at Christmas, like, well, who's on the naughty list? Who's on the nice list? And if you're on the nice list, then you'll get gifts. Praise God, he doesn't work that way. He says, every last person's on the naughty list. Every last person deserves judgment. And I'm not going to make you earn it by trying to work yourself over to the nice list. He says, if you simply believe on Jesus, you can be declared right. Nate read John 3:16, probably most familiar verse in Scripture, where it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever works really hard should not perish. Right? No. That whosoever believeth in him, just believe in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're here this morning and you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, receive that gift of declared righteousness today. You don't have to earn it. You just simply have to admit to God your sin, believe on Jesus Christ, and ask him to save you. If you're here as a believer this morning, you're like, okay, here we are at Christmas again. It's busy. I got all this stuff to do. And we're kind of running through activity to activity and thinking about all the stresses and busyness and just wanting our own comfort and ease and time off. Don't miss the wonder of declared righteousness. You did nothing to earn it. And God said, you're right with me. That's amazing. Beyond considering the wonder of declared righteousness, consider secondly and briefly the wonder of demonstrated love. The wonder of demonstrated love. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the scripture says it this way, but God commendeth, and the idea of the word commendeth is he showed us. The word that's been in my mind this last week is he showcased for us his love. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated that he loves every person because when we were unworthy, when we were in our sins, he sent Jesus to die for us. You could say it this way and have all these built out in my notes, but we don't have time. First, God's love is indisputable because he demonstrated. He showed it. It was commended towards us. His love is personal. It's not just like, well, you know what? Hey, God loves some people. Like, it's personalized there. God has loved us. Whereas John 3:16 says he has loved the entire world. His love is not only indisputable and personal, it is merciful. Because why? God loved us when we were trying to love him back. That's not what the verse says. God loved us when we were yet sinners. Like, God loved me when I was rebelling against him. God loved me when I wanted to go my own way. God loved me when I was breaking his laws. God did not say, well, you know, we'll see if you can earn my love. God's love is merciful. He gives it to us when we don't deserve it. It's indisputable, it's personal, it is merciful, it is sacrificial. Part of the wonder at Christmas is this infinite God becomes this tiny baby. Why? So that while he was innocent, would live a perfect life, do incredible miracles, teach the multitudes, feed the masses, heal the sick, they would kill him. And he would willingly give his life. Why? Because he was dying for us. He was dying for our sins. His love is incredibly, unbelievably sacrificial because Christ died for us. Romans 8 would later tell us God's love is also inseparable. Nothing can take it away. So if you're a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, rejoice. Not only do you have declared righteousness, you are right with God, you have a demonstrated love, and you are loved unconditionally and inseparably. Nothing will ever change that. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, if you've never believed, receive that kind of love. Say, God, thank you for dying for my sins. I'm trusting Jesus as my Savior. And then third and finally, not only consider the wonder of declared righteousness, the wonder of demonstrated love, consider the wonder of a determined future. A determined future. One chapter over in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, second part of the verse says this, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is eternal, everlasting, unending life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Part of the gift that we receive at Christmas is not just going, well, hey, God became a man, Jesus became a baby. That's incredible and wonderful. But that gift of Jesus provided the gift of everlasting life. I mentioned this at our school's Christmas program on Thursday night, but you know, we open all kinds of gifts and most of them don't last super long, right? So there's times where on Christmas Day, things are broken within moments. Okay. God gave us a gift that lasts for eternity when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. To not only realize you're right with, or you can be right with him, you are loved by him, but he says, be with me forever. Be in heaven with me forever. The way I illustrated on Thursday was like, when you look at that verse, that's like a diamond of truth that just sparkles, ought to catch our attention. But it's set against a very black backdrop in the first part of the verse, because the first part of Romans 6:23 says, here's the bad part. The wages, the paycheck, what you deserve for sin is death. Physical death, spiritual death, separation from God described in Revelation chapter 21. That's what we deserve, but God says, here's a gift instead. Again, Thursday's Christmas. I hope some gifts are exchanged with you in your home, with others, with family, with friends. Imagine you gave someone a gift this Christmas and they turned around and said, you know what, let me get my wallet. I just need to pay you real quick. Do you mind telling me how much it costs? I'm just gonna pay. You'd be kind of offended, would you not? Like, well, fine, if you're not going to take any money, I'll tell you what. I'll go clean out your car. If that's not enough, I'll do the dishes too. We don't expect that with gifts. Realize what the scripture says. The gift of God, meaning it is not earned. No amount of good works, no amount of personal effort is going to get us there. But the gift that God wants to give is eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, we tell every person here, there's one of two responses that's needed. On the one hand, there's a need to receive this truth, to realize Christ came to die for our sins and to rise again. And if you haven't done that, I'd encourage you to talk to God today. Say, I got questions. I need some more information. I don't know if I agree. I would love to talk to you further, even after the service. We're set up a time to talk to you further if you don't have time. We need to receive, because the third response is we can reject all this, but it leaves us condemned. But for believers here, as we've reminded ourselves of the wonder of Christ's coming, the wonder that was marked by angels and shepherds and wise men and gifts and all that took place, that wonder was for a purpose. And some of that purpose is that God would demonstrate his love. You are loved. That God would declare you righteous to go, you are right with me. And that God would give you this determined future to say, be with me forever. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to have focused on Jesus Christ this morning, his coming, but also the purpose and why he came. God, thank you for showing us such incredible mercy and love through your Son that we might be reconciled to you, forgiven of our sins, and able to spend eternity with you forever. Lord, I pray for each one here that they would know where they stand in relationship to you, that they would make the decision, if need be, to be saved even today. And Lord, for believers, that you would stir our hearts, that we wouldn't just go through routine once more and miss the wonder of what you've done through Jesus. God, even now as we pray, we recognize that it is through his work, through his name. Amen.